And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You make me sad. You make me strong. You make me mad. You make me love you for you.
You make me leave. You make me die.
You make me laugh. You make me cry.
You make me laugh.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, November 27th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. What an excellent cold open to start the week.
So good.
Had me giggling away there. Got funnier and funnier as it went on.
That's good.
Shout out to the stream team. Joining us live right now on YouTube, smash that like button and subscribe. Just Tass and I here today at the desk talking about the NBA weekend. TK, he is in Disney World. It is the world here in Orlando, right?
Yes.
The land is in LA. I always mix that up.
Yeah, I've been there multiple times and I also mix that up.
Yeah, you've been to the world.
I've been to the world.
Have you been to the land as
never,
well?
Never to the land.
Okay.
I hope to go there and Pebble Beach one day. That's what I think of when I think of Disneyland. I'd rather be at Pebble Beach.
Very random.
Yeah, rather see the tree.
Sure,
you know, Josh.
Sure. Nature, beautiful. Oh, yes, excellent. A lot of things in L.A., California. Yeah. But yes, TK gone all weekend with his family, going to have a blast there. Hey, maybe he can fit in some time to check out the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
They're hot. We'll get to them. We'll get to them. Before we get to our winners and losers of the weekend, this is your final day to take advantage of the big sales. I'm talking big sales going on over at BreakingT.com, NoDunks.com. All hoodies site-wide are 20% off. And a bunch of No Dunks merch there has been discounted as well. It's Cyber Monday.
Yeah, you ready to spend some money?
That's all I've done all weekend, ever since Friday. I just spend. But anyway, there are some good deals there. Yeah. I know we're half mocking it, but hey, a discounted shirt's a discounted shirt. A 20% off hoodie like this, which is a Classic Factory hoodie, go take advantage of that. Yeah, hit that link in the show notes, all you podcast listeners, all you YouTubers. Okay, we have some wedgies to tell you about. They both involved the Bulls. One way back on Wednesday night, because we didn't have a show there for a couple days at the end of the week. Josh Giddey, who had he had an interesting weekend, didn't he? But he had a wedgie, and then we had Javon Carter with a wedgie as well. So
our first weekend with two wedgies.
Yeah, again, this was a very long
weekend. It was a long weekend. Yeah. It wasn't much of a weekend.
Yeah, those were Wednesday and Friday nights, and we're up to six.
It's up to six. Pace is 34. I think players are just too good these days.
Oh, that's what's happened, is it?
Yeah, I think so, because this would be the lowest rate in the modern era.
Yeah.
Well, the modern era is totally subjective. We don't really know.
Since we tracked it.
Since we tracked it a decade ago, it would be by far the lowest rate. I think players are used to shooting shots, but at the same time, we could get a hot week.
Well, we had a lot. Yeah, that's right. They come in bunches. Yeah. So we could definitely have three or four and over a two-night span. We had the new ball last year. That was our working theory, right?
Oh, right.
A stickier ball was resulting in more wedgies. Yeah, maybe they have gotten a little more accustomed to the ball. I don't know. We're just throwing it out there. Let's just pray for more wedgies, okay? But we're up to six. Okay, let's get into weekend winners. Play along if you're joining us live on YouTube. Let's hear your winners. Tass, get us started. Where are you going?
We had a lot of great shots this weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to a lot of them. The Magic are great, as you said. The Wolves are great.
Yeah.
We'll get to so many. But let's start with the hot Phoenix Suns, because it was just about one shot for me watching them in Madison Square Garden with the big one, because they haven't played with their big three once this year, and Durant was out again for the second straight game. So it was all about Devin Booker. The Knicks played him pretty tough throughout the entire game, throwing guys at him.
Yeah.
But when it was tied, time ticking down. Devin Booker had the ball, and he was way beyond the three-point line. He gave it up to Jordan Goodwin, and it looked like for the Suns, who could get a two-shot and win the game, they could fly into the lane. But Jordan Goodwin, also beyond the three-point line, threw it back to Devin Booker, and Devin Booker used Goodwin as a screen a little bit and went up to the three-point line and hit a shot where he was fading to his right. Cool. A very tough shot. He had Randle, he had Barrett sort of in his face. And as he was fading away from the arc, he banged home that three to hit the game winner. And I said, they have won 7 games in a row. And without their big three playing together, Booker could just be incredible, and he could be their best point guard, as he was in this game, had 11 assists in this game, and no Bradley Beal, who's going to be the shooting guard, I suppose, when he comes back and plays with Booker. They got to figure that thing out.
Yeah.
Because here we are, it's not quite quarter of a season yet, but we're getting close to that, and the Suns just relying on a bunch of deep guys with Devin Booker and Eric Gordon, who had 25 in this game. I wonder with Kevin Durant, the whole Kevin Durant thing, he did practice pretty hard before this game. Like, he warmed up on that foot that is hurt. Unlike Bradley Beal, who's going to be out weeks, you expect Kevin Durant to come back. But they're going to be at the quarter mark, getting close to Christmas and having not played a game. But they looked so freaking good. They go into Madison Square Garden with Booker doing his thing. Kind of look like playoff Booker again. And they win. The road record is 7-2, which I'm shocked by. That's damn good. But I'm starting to see playoff Suns, you know, without having played all together, but they do have enough depth around these guys, and that's why I bring it up. And they could board against these Knicks, who are so freaking good on that end. They can play big enough.
Booker shot absolutely deserving of the Father Stretch My Hands Part 1 treatment. Uh-huh. You know, the Kanye song where it builds and builds and builds, and then it goes in and it explodes.
Yes, felt like it,
because you're right. He has it. They did do a great job of, like, taking the ball out of his hands throughout the entire game.
Yeah.
But he's okay with that.
Yeah.
He's point book. I think he's averaging, like, 9 assists per game. He's, like, one of the leaders in the league.
That's 9, yeah.
But, yeah, then got it back a little too easily. But, man, when you hit a shot like that, like, you can't play it much better. The guy's fading in front of the opponent's bench. They're, you know, Randall's there. RJ's there. Like, they're a hand is up, and he just rises up and, yeah, fades away, hits it. Almost no reaction from him at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he does against the Knicks. Yeah. He like scores like 30 points per game against them. I know there was a screen grab going around of like, you know, it's Wilt and it's Jordan and Durant and like Kobe and Booker, guys that have scored over 30 points per game against the Knicks, like average.
Mm-hmm.
But an incredible shot and close to falling and tying the game, Brunson, with like 2 seconds to go. He sort of like, it was a weird shot where he... Mm-hmm. sort of spun and just threw it up, and that thing almost dropped. But yeah, what a run here from Booker, obviously, from the Suns without having their big three. And you slipped it in there. Your guy that you love, Eric Gordon. I mean, you loved him way back in the Clippers days. 25 points. He's had a couple of these games where he's obviously just hitting threes and contributing enough offensively for them. He was great in this one.
Yeah, and on our Thanksgiving show, I called him the cranberry sauce.
That's right.
Because he is all reliable.
You
have cranberry sauce on every table. You may not love it. You may not love Eric Gordon, but he knows how to hit shots. Talking about players that don't have wedgies over the years. Like, he has learned. We've gone through the numbers. He's just grown into a three-point shooter over and over and over again. He's incredible here subbing in. He was 6 of 9 from three-point land in this game. I think the thing that the Knicks could have done is gotten the ball out of Booker's hands. Like, he was well beyond three-point line, but I guess they were scared, as I brought up, of anybody getting in two-point land.
Yeah, it was a tie game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were just trying to take away a three.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you maybe play it differently. I mean, look, they got it out of his hands, and then he was kinda. Like, okay, I'm just going to go get it right back.
You just went and got it right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you brought up teams that are doing so well. Durant hasn't lost in New York in over a decade, which is a weird stat.
How many teams?
He's played for good teams.
But different teams.
OKC and Golden State and Brooklyn. Yeah, he played for one.
Yeah.
So, the Suns has just got it together. They do have a good... And the fact that the Knicks, they play it real slow. That's what they do. But they play it real big. They're a great defensive rebounding team. And they're a great offensive rebounding team. And that's where I wonder with the Suns and their starter of Nurkic and who their backup is with Drew Eubanks. Like, do they have enough size? In this one, that impressed me that they were able to board with the Knicks. And Durant is a four who wants to play real, real big in the playoffs. So I'm thinking of this team in the postseason. We'll talk about great teams here. But this postseason, collection of guys, if they get some reps together, they need to play together.
Yeah, that's going to be like, on one hand, you're like, oh my God, they're 11-6. They're near the top of the Western Conference standings, despite their big three not playing all at the same time. That's good. The flip side of that is they got to get some reps together. They have to play together at some point, right? At some point in this season. And when they all three do play, will there be growing pains in terms of like, you know, obviously Booker is their point guard, but they're just getting into the flow of things, getting their shots. And then it sort of trickles down to all the other guys, too, that are contributing. Yeah. You know, their minutes are reduced. Their roles are probably reduced. And you got to figure that out. But I guess, look, I think most Suns fans, if you had said, that big three you got during the summer, they haven't played at all, and you're going to be an 11-6, like, you know, winning seven in a row, I think you're going to be okay with that. Yeah. Right? You're going to be happy with that.
Yeah. I just had some flashbacks to the Nets big three. They look great when they hadn't played together.
Right.
But then Kyrie gets hurt and Harden gets hurt and Durant's toes are too big against the Milwaukee Bucks as he hits a shot that could have been a three-pointer, but it was a two-pointer because his shoes are large. Because they're so skinny, he goes large. Anyway, will Bradley Beal be able to stay healthy in the postseason?
Right,
that's the question, because he hasn't been.
No.
And that was some sort of a big story coming into the season. Oh, Bradley Beal hasn't played the last 2 years, which I shot down. I thought, okay, he has taken some games off because the Washington Wizards aren't an incredible team, but the back is a back.
The back is the back.
Yeah,
it's piggybacking. That's right. Okay, let's keep it going here. I want to give the Houston Rockets a winner of the weekend. They only played one game over the weekend. You know, we're not really counting here Wednesday and Thursday and all that, but they played on Friday night. Got a big win thanks to Jalen Green, 25 points. Alperen Şengün, awesome, 21-14. This guy is on a run. And they helped lead Houston to the 105-86 win over the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
This was an in-season tournament game. Udoka said the game plan was to try and make Jokic beat them. Guard everybody else, right? Just don't send double and triple teams at Jokic. Play him one-on-one as much as you can with your Şengün and whoever got matched up on him, and keep everybody else in check. And it did work. I mean, Jokic had a monster line, but no one else really, you know, popped off for the Nuggets. Houston improved to 2-1 in the tournament. Denver eliminated from even advancing to the quarterfinals. And so the Rockets now play in Dallas on Tuesday night. And here's why they really get bumped up to a winner to me. Not just because of the victory, really nice victory. You know, they're stringing together wins here. But over the weekend, Luka Doncic banged his left hand in like the opening minute against the Clippers, like on a steal. I think he banged it off Harden's knee or something. He's grabbing at it right away. He kept playing in the game, but he underwent x-rays at halftime. They were negative, but I don't know. I don't know if he's going to play in this Tuesday night game. Like, his hand was heavily bandaged. They're going to, like, do it again, take another look at it. And, you know, they're not playing to advance either in the IST. So my point is, the Rockets are set up pretty nicely here. They're on the road where they stink. They're in Dallas, like I said. But if there's no Luka and they win that game, Houston does, they advance and move on from the being the winners of their group play. If they lose, the Pelicans advance. So it's a huge game. And they're helped out here because, like, we'll wait and see if Luka plays on Tuesday night. But my gut would say he wouldn't.
That's fair.
Right? I mean, again, they're not playing to move on, the Mavericks, because they started so slowly in group play. And, you know, it's your superstar player, and it's a badly hurt hand. You're going to give him a little bit of time to rest here. So it could be a very, very good, you know, it was a winner of the weekend of the Rockets, but that could continue this week.
Yeah, that Dallas Clippers matchup was fun to watch because Luka Doncic was doing his thing and fighting through the injury. But also, he had that one run down the lane where he was trying to guard Russell Westbrook, and Westbrook went right through him. And then Westbrook had an and one and basically said, go at him. You could read the mouth. Mm-hmm. Go at him. Because he loves that what they've had there with the Clippers and the Mavericks and the Rockets and the Mavericks. He has a relationship with Luka. He likes to go at him. So that was super fun to watch. And let's give these Rockets some respect because they are a winless team on the road.
Yeah.
They have not won a game. They had that win streak at the beginning of the season, 6 in a row. They're 8-1, if I'm not mistaken, at home, and 0-5 on the road. But that 0-5 on the road that they went on after that 6-game win streak to a few of those games, it was a tough loss to the Clippers, a tough loss to the Lakers, and a tough loss to the Warriors. A 6-point loss, a 1-point loss, and a 5-point loss.
Yeah, they're in them.
Yeah, they're in them all the way down to the stretch. So you should consider this game up against the Mavericks, for them to be the favorite. I know the Mavs are playing fairly well, and they play extremely fast, but they don't play defense. I'm buying the Rockets. I'm buying the Rockets. You broke it down on your Saturday pod about this in-season tournament and how it's all going to shape or shake down in terms of the you know, the head-to-head and all that. I like the Rockets. Yeah. I do believe in them.
I like their chances a lot more now if Luka is banged up or doesn't even play. And I guess we'll wait to see either today or maybe tomorrow what the status is with him. All right, let's get to the Orlando Magic test. Yes. I know you got them on your list. They're just as hot as the Phoenix Suns, 7 in a row for them too.
Trey better get to a game because at home, this team is tough to beat. This team just brings it with their deep, deep, deep team. And you may not go there and think, oh, this team is good offensively, because they're bad offensively at times. But they're such a good defensive team. They're so hard to play against. Couple games this weekend. Game one against the Celtics. They made it through, and they had some wicked plays, as I brought up earlier. Franz Wagner to Cole Anthony for an alley-oop. Cole Anthony got up with a great throwdown. And then in the third quarter, Jalen Suggs hit a couple threes as Orlando pulled away. And he waved goodbye to the Celtics with 1 minute left. He hit a three. And there's a lot of Celtics fans in Orlando.
Yes. Yeah, and so they travel.
He turned around to the audience. He gave a bye-bye, which was neat. He only had 10 points, but a 39-22 fourth quarter for the Orlando Magic. And I like that he only had 10 points and only played 28 minutes in this game because I like how they get deep. Cole Anthony is great playing Anthony Black's minutes. Anthony Black is starting. Markel Fultz is out. So they had Cole Anthony playing a ton of minutes. Mo Wagner came off the bench and scored 27. What a huge game. So there's that game. And then game two, Sunday, they're playing Charlotte. Another great play. This is Cole Anthony pick and roll with Franz Wagner. It looks like he's going to Franz Wagner, but he throws it into the corner, and that's where Jalen Suggs catches it, and his toes are almost on the baseline as he jumps and catches it, and it looks like if his heels go down, he's out of bounds, but he stays on his toes. He jumps straight up and hits a three, a ridiculous shot. That was a lot of fun to watch. And then just overall, again, Cole Anthony, although he's coming off the bench for Anthony Black, Anthony Black only played 20 minutes in those two games. Cole Anthony had 30 points. He was monstrous. Franz Wagner, I think he's starting to feel it a little bit, although he's had a good season. He started slow. He's getting a little bit better. This team has won 7 games in a row. They beat Charlotte. They beat Boston. And overall, as I said, Boston, Denver, Milwaukee, they've beaten. So some good wins. And you know, just to throw it in there, throw it in the Timberwolves as well. They're two teams that wouldn't have been expected to be up in the standings this early. I know we talked about it on our Wednesday Thanksgiving show, but to be this good this early is a little surprising.
Do you think Cole Anthony is the very early leader for sixth man of the year? He's got to be on the short list here.
It's got to be on the list.
And you're right. He gets a lot of minutes. You know, it's like almost sort of the Ginobili situation there where he still comes off the bench but plays a lot. But he really is contributing. That was a monster game, that second one. Yeah. And he's picking his spots, like even in that Celtics win. And the Wagner brothers. Somebody fact-check me. Like, when's the last time two brothers on the same team had like back-to-back games where one went for 25 and then the other guy went for 25? I can't imagine that's happened a ton in NBA history, right?
Brothers
on the same team back-to-back games, one 25 plus, the other 25 plus.
The Lopez's didn't do it.
I can't imagine.
They're playing Milwaukee's. Yeah. The Antetokounmpo's didn't do it.
No. The Holidays, maybe,
but probably not.
Yeah. And then I'm sure there's some other brothers I'm forgetting. Forgotten brothers out there.
Magic, go back to the 50s, 60s. What was your – did they play together?
The Van Twins. Arsdales? Yeah, the Van Arsdales must have done it. Dick and Tom.
Dick and Tom.
Yeah, for sure. They did it. So, yeah, Magic, love that. Love a little love there for the Wolves as well. Yeah, these teams just continuing to get it done and pull together these winning streaks. I'm going to give some love to the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, they played some crappy teams over the weekend.
Interesting.
But they got the W's. I have to give them a win of the weekend because they came back from a 26-point deficit against the Blazers on Sunday.
Yeah.
Giannis hit a sort of a tie-breaking tip-in. It was a weird thing. Like, Bobby Portis sort of airballed a little hook shot when the ball sort of just ricocheted to him. But Giannis, you know, Johnny on the spot there about 19 seconds ago. Giannis tips it in, and that helps Milwaukee overcome, again, a 26-point deficit to beat the Blazers 108-102. Right. So they're down 81-55 in the third quarter. You can never turn these games off. You just can't anymore. You can't say, oh, it's over, 25-point lead, good night. No, don't do it, everyone. So that is the biggest deficit overcome by any team this season. It's the Bucks' largest come-from-behind victory since 2012, so way back in the day. And, they played in another gross game before that against the Wizards. Uh-huh. I mean, these games were way too close for comfort for the Bucks, but they picked them up, both victories here. And I will say, just to the Sunday game, really weird to see Dame Time versus his old team.
Yeah.
It was just weird. It was jarring. He hit a big step-back three in the final couple of minutes to tie things up. Then he stepped in and took a charge from Jeremy Grant, who was a little out of control. Then he picked up an assist to Beasley, who splashed a three. Birthday boy Beasley, they kept saying on the broadcast. And that gave Milwaukee a lead. And then Dame, like, iced it at the free throw line because he's basically a guaranteed free throw. Like, the guy's, like, over his entire career, I bet he shoots, like, 95% at the line in the fourth quarter. It feels like he never misses one. So, just weird to see it against his old team.
Yeah, and he did comment after the game. That was strange, playing my old team and handshaking with people I knew. But it was at home, so it wasn't as weird as if he was going back to Portland.
Yeah, true.
Which happens, as I look at the schedule, January 31st is the only time that they go there.
Okay.
I do want to comment just on the Bucks. They got a huge game from Brook Lopez in that first game against the Wizards. Looking great. Brook doesn't get enough respect in this league. But Chris Middleton was out after the tendonitis in his left Achilles.
Yeah.
And so he's been out a couple games. He had knee surgery in the offseason. He just had a lot of injuries. I just hope he gets back because he hasn't even played a lot in each game that he's played this season. They're playing him light, minutes restriction. So they rely on other guys. It's a weird scenario there with the Bucks in that they come back, like you just said. When they want to, they kind of look like a championship team. When they've got the experience, they're like, okay, let's get this together. But they haven't done it with Damian Lillard. So
can they win a championship without Middleton?
Yeah,
that's the real question.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And yeah, what you have seen from him when he was playing in limited minutes, it didn't inspire you all that much. You know, it's not like he was filling it up. He looks older. He looks like a guy coming off of injury. And yeah, now it's sort of he's back on the shelf there. So something to watch for sure. I will say in that Sunday game too against Portland, Portland appeared to have a chance to tie it up. I believe it was Brogdon that drove at Giannis. He blocked it, but he was called for the foul. And Griffin challenged it for the Bucks, and it was the right challenge. You know, back in Secaucus, they overturned it. They never show us Secaucus anymore. You ever notice that? Rarely.
At all?
Well, we used to always go to that camera in the headquarters. Huh. And everybody looking at monitors. We used to see that all the time. I feel like they don't show us anymore.
They do a little bit. I swear, I saw it sometime.
They didn't on this one. But anyway, it was, I think, the right overturned call. There was very minimal contact. I mean, I think they got that one right. But it led to a jump ball situation because no one had possession of the ball when they obviously then overturned it. So it's Brook Lopez and DeAndre Ayton, and it was one of these really gross jump balls where it went up, the guy sort of fought for it, but then it just sort of fell. Mm-hmm. And so then Brook sort of smacked it back, and luckily it went to Damian Lillard and he got it, like I said, got fouled, hit the free throws. But I keep saying those these late game jump ball situations. These officials got to be better. It wasn't a great throw. We need a robotic. We need a Roomba to throw it up or something, or drop it from the ceiling. We need something a little more high tech.
I hope you can buy one for Cyber Monday right now.
Give me the
referees should be buying Roombas.
Right, and then sort of jigging them up somehow to shoot the ball up.
Let's do it.
I think it would just look cool. Wouldn't it be cool? Like everyone's like, all right, here comes the Roomba.
Yeah.
Put the ball on it.
Yeah.
All right. Fires it up.
Of course.
Perfectly straight.
It would look awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking of Secaucus and whether or not they were going to those shots right now. And even if they totally faked it, they just threw it on. they threw an old one in there. I would be swayed that it was done right there because they could Photoshop current shots on the screens of what the referees were looking at of tonight. But because I'm swayed every time. I believe
that's it. That's like the scene in the movie Speed where they're on the bus.
Yeah.
And they fake loop it, don't they? Yeah. Like the camera footage. You know what I'm talking about, JD?
Totally,
yeah. That's what they could do. Go ahead.
It's got to be a drone, though. Not a Roomba. You don't want something.
Yeah, we've tried a drone with the NBA Dunk Contest. That went horribly.
That was 2016. It, they Have you seen those displays of where there's 100 drones and, you know, like the fireworks?
Yeah, it's not fireworks, yeah.
But they're very precise. There's no wind resistance, and you could put a camera. Wouldn't that be cool, just seeing the ball just fall?
Like, okay, that is pretty cool. Yeah, so. But it does change the dynamics of a jump ball where we obviously, you know, since the start of doing jump balls, we throw it up.
Right.
Then it comes down, but you're saying just have that drone up there and drop it. I mean, I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah, the drones are just—they're just advanced. I'm with you. I was in New Jersey, New York.
You didn't go to Secaucus?
I saw the sign. I always see the sign of Secaucus on the highway.
Yeah,
get pumped for that. But I was at the Rockettes. Oh. Saw the Rockettes.
Wow!
And there was air quotes drones. There was fairies flying over the crowd, which was awesome.
That's cool.
See. We've had a bad taste in our mouth about drones since, what, it was Aaron Gordon, right?
Yeah, what a nice memory.
So, I mean, the technology has advanced so amazingly.
Because I saw those drones and I thought, that must be hard to do. They're flying, literally almost flying over us in circles. But Danielle's dad said, no, that's the easiest thing for them to do.
They're probably just computer programmed. Totally. Yeah,
they just hit one and they just circle around. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And, you know, now that I think back to that dunk contest performance, like, wasn't really the drone's fault.
No.
It was like the human operating it because they had to release the ball and the timing of all. Okay. All right. Well, we need a Roomba or a drone to do these jump ball situations. Let's do one more batch.
One more quick
of winners from the weekend. Who you got?
We all know Christian and Scooby. Mm. Great halftime act. Christian pulls out Scooby, that little dog, does all its jumping, does all its things.
Yeah.
He was on the starters way back when. Every halftime, he shows up. He does a great, incredible job.
Yep.
In Minnesota on Friday, you know, after he does the handstands off those sort of risers, I believe they're called handstand canes, he took a bit of a quick tumble, but he was totally fine. He put the balls on the handstand canes. If you're watching with us here on YouTube, that is very hard to do.
Oh!
It looked very tough. I think he hit himself in a good spot because he came out and he said he was fine. You know, he brought Scooby on. Scooby was jumping around. He said, first off, I'm okay. Just a minor scratch, bruise, thankfully. I appreciate our extended NBA fam that reached out and all the text messages from everyone checking in. Might make no sense, but this only makes me prouder that I try to push my limits and not get complacent. Scooby's a star, without a doubt. But it makes me feel good to try to also be a better hand balancer. And even though this show didn't go as planned, it's proof that we do as acrobats. Hand balancers isn't easy. Yeah. What they do there is not easy. I'm grateful that this wasn't serious and anxious to get back to it. Much love. He was on Jimmy Fallon the day before that. The day before that incident, while he was also on Jimmy Fallon doing that kind of thing, where he's up doing handstands. That's hard to do.
It's almost like we do need to see this every once in a while to remind us.
Yeah.
Like what this guy's doing is stupid. Like, well, you know what I mean? You see it a million times, and you're like, you start to think like, oh, yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah.
It's like, I could jump up there and balance on two balls. There you go. No big deal. But, yeah, then you see him take a tough fall, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't want him to get hurt, but as you just said, it's good for his reputation to kind of take a tumble because you start talking about it because that gets publicity.
Yeah, a little bit.
Also, being on Jimmy Fallon gets some publicity,
sure,
I'm sure.
Sure.
But, yeah, he was in Minnesota. They were showing him love. He was fine. I think he took that cane stand in the right spot.
Yeah.
That's like, probably because just above the hip, it looked like.
Right.
So
just above the groin, too.
Yeah.
It could have been bad.
It could have been bad, yeah. But I think his abs are strong because he's doing freaking handstands. So good for him.
I did check in with him. I was one of those techs. I was part of the NBA family. I said, are you okay, bro? He wrote back, yep, all good. Thanks for checking in. And I appreciate you. And said it was a good scratch and a bruise. Nothing serious.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. From Christian himself. Well, maybe Scooby wrote this. I don't know. You never know. I do have Christian and Scooby in my phone. So who knows?
He writes those with those nails.
He did. Did he continue, I assume, the performance?
He continued on the floor with Scooby. He kept going.
Scooby took over. Yeah.
He definitely did.
Wow.
Yeah, Scooby was dancing through the hoops.
What a jam.
Great stuff.
One more
Scooby
winner.
Scooby unfazed either. Like, didn't even...
Almost a little too unfazed.
Right?
Checking on your guy.
Honestly.
Yeah. Come on, Scoobs. All right. Final winner of the weekend. This is, you know, away from the NBA floor, but to the basketball floor still. It's our guy, Jerome Cheng. That's right. Jerome, we told you last week, was playing in the TMU Sports versus Media Charity Basketball game up there in Toronto. Jerome was on team media representing No Dunks, and he came through, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did the team get the win, okay, that's important, but check the highlights we've got from Jerome here. Okay, here's a simple assist to Will Liu to start the game. Why not? Wow, what a shot there from Will. Bang, bang, bang. The stats are great, though. Oh, we're getting replays?
We got a replay
of
that one.
Jerome finished with 10 points.
Here he is.
Yep. 4 of 5 from the floor. Very efficient. He's going to go 2 for 3 from deep here. Here's one of them coming up, I believe.
Yeah. There he goes. That's a deep, deep three.
Yep. 2 assists to 2 turnovers. We'll live with that. And he threw in a steal. And yeah, he was just a flamethrower out there, Taz.
I love this camera work as
I know.
Well.
Look, I watched a bit of this broadcast. This was a school project by a team up there. Huge shout out to Karina Mustafa and her team for leading this. I was pretty impressed with the production. I was like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, this is awesome. The camera work is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the broadcast was well done. The graphic package, they had sideline reporters and all that. So there's an assist. That was a big shot. But coming up here, this is a big one. Tie game. There's about a minute to go. Jerome hits the go-ahead shot. And that was a difference maker. Now, he did say, he's an honest man, this Jerome. He said, I didn't mean to bank it.
Oh.
But it looked like it did.
Could have fooled
me.
Us.
Yeah.
Looked clean. Thought he pulled the Dwayne Wade, the Russell Westbrook bank it, but he also pointed to his veins, old Dame.
He was doing a lot of that. He did a couple threes to the head, the threes to the dome there.
Well done. Well done.
Congrats to Jerome. Congrats to Team Media. And again, congrats to that entire team up there for the Sport versus Media charity basketball game. JD, I think you'd be very impressed. I think it's on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch it. Yep. Go back and
you want to go grade it for them.
Yeah, I'll grade it. Okay. I'll grade it.
Just like you talked about the drones weren't great 10 years ago. Also, our camera work, we didn't get one of those.
No.
We didn't get one of those games.
No.
That would have been nice.
We could have done
a stupid Jays game.
We did a Jays game. Camera work was great. JD, you directed a great game back in 2005 or whenever it was.
Yeah, hold on. These are two different things, right?
Like, yeah.
This team was their final
they put
practicum
the whole
project.
Thing
3 months. Yeah, they worked on this.
That was great.
Awesome stuff. Jerome representing for No Dunks, too. We love to see it. All right, we got to take a break when we come back. NBA Weekend Losers.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right.
Great stuff.
Let's get to the NBA weekend losers, okay? Which teams, which performances, whatever you want, is on your loser of the weekend list.
I'm keeping mine extremely simple here. Again, it's the plays that are standing out to me from this past weekend. And Clint Capela of the Atlanta Hawks, he got Clint capped by Jaylen Brown. He dunked on his head. Clint Capela, unfortunately, he was sort of under the rim. He came out like 1 foot for Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown, when he has the ball up top, he kind of dances a little bit.
Yep.
And then when he sees an opportunity to go at the rim, he goes. And he went hard. And he dunked on Clint Capela, who just ate it. He had nothing better to do. He tried to go up. But the Celtics got one done against the Atlanta Hawks. So I've got to call Clint Capela the loser. This would have been a very, very tough win for the Hawks. This is a back-to-back for them. Because they did beat the Wizards on Saturday night. And I just want to note the Celtics here, you know, they do have enough depth to go around their injuries. Kristaps Porzingis, he's going to be out, and he's out at least a week.
Yeah.
Reevaluated in a week with that calf strain. I wonder, you know, how long he's going to be out, if he's going to be able to come back. We've seen these injuries before with him in the playoffs. That Dallas Clippers note that I said earlier, that's what he looked like. And Drew Holiday was out in this game. But Delano Banton, our former Raptor, he was playing hard off the bench. Maybe he's not a three-point shooter. Maybe you don't want him to handle the ball all the time, but he plays hard on both ends. He goes at the rim, and he plays hard defensively. And Namish Keita also doing his thing, as the Celtics coaching staff noted after the game. They said, that dude changed things. They got enough guys playing really, really hard to get around these injuries. So they get a W, but Clint Cap, he got the loss, unfortunately, in this one.
Yeah. Did you see the crowd reaction to that dunk, too?
Yeah.
They gave us some great shots of fans going bonkers, everybody dropping it on their head and just like wow faces. Yeah, it was a big dunk. I'll pile on the Hawks as the loser of the weekend, too, because on a fast break in that Saturday victory over the Wizards, Jalen Johnson took a foul from Kuzma that sent him to the floor really hard, and he appeared to hurt his left wrist while he was bracing for contact with the ground. He stepped to the free throw line, you know, took his two free throw attempts, and then he didn't return. On Sunday, yeah, we found out it was pretty bad. Shams reported that Johnson is expected to miss about 4 to 6 weeks. Now, the Hawks themselves said he was diagnosed with a left distal radius fracture there in his wrists, and he will be reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks. So Hawks saying 3 to 4 reevaluation. Shams is already looking ahead, probably 4 to 6 weeks. Until he can maybe return. Good news, there's no need for surgery, I believe. You're going to have to rest this one. But this sucks. This sucks for the Hawks because, you know, Jalen Big Johnson, print the t-shirts, he was having a breakout season. I mean, he was probably on the short list for most improved player candidates. He was averaging 14-7, 2.5 assists, and he was shooting 42% from deep. And he was like a really, really, you know, bright spot for Hawks fans in terms of for two reasons. One, he's fun as hell to watch because he can obviously hit the three a little bit. There was some growth to his game. He was a blast in transition, both ends, either chasing down guys for blocks or dunking in transition. And then he also was like a bright spot for Hawks fans in terms of like the long-term success of the team, right? Like,
yeah.
He looks like a building piece. So from that perspective, it really sucks too. So he's going to be out here for a little bit. I guess maybe this means AJ Griffin sort of steps into that role and will get a chance. He did at least on Sunday. He didn't look all that great or play all that well, but Big Johnson on the shelf.
AJ Griffin has been sort of in the rotation, sort of not at times, but the reason they were fine giving up John Collins was because Jalen Johnson was going to be in that starting lineup. So they rely on him for sure. Now they struggle defensively 100%, but they hope that somebody like Jalen Johnson and DeJounte Murray step up a little bit, and Trae Young, who Red Glasses Quinn Snyder says is ready to go defensively and is having his best season defensively. I love Quinn Snyder's red glasses that he sports. Those red frames that he's okay wearing.
Sally Jesse Raphael. I said, though, it would have been slick if he, you know how they do the blue court for the in-season tournament, and I was down there not too long ago for one of those games. He should go with blue glasses for that.
Oh.
Should match his glass frames to the floor, to the colors of the team.
Yeah.
That'd be next level.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
And that floor is good. I know there's some great, some not so great.
Mm-hmm.
That floor is good. The Orlando Magic one that we just mentioned down in Disney World that Trey should go to, very good.
The Dallas Cowboys court.
It was the Cowboys court.
It does look like it.
Why do you call it like, why is it the Cowboys court?
Because it's the star and the colors. I mean, are very Cowboys like.
Yes.
Which is bad. I mean, it's a great brand. It's a great look. Yeah, I like it.
Somebody drew that star once upon a time.
Yes. You don't think they
I don't think have they stole a trademark it exactly.
On that? No?
I don't know. I was in Allen Martin was my middle school.
Okay.
And somebody drew the star as part of the logo. Did they see the Cowboys once upon a time?
They just saw a star, maybe.
Yeah. Alan M. Martin. What the heck was it called? That's why I slowly call him. Like, there's a middle.
I've never heard you talk about this.
That's
school.
Where I went to middle school.
I only know you're Great and Gordian school.
Yeah, we called it Great and Gordian. Yeah, we called it the Magic. And so that's why they got the start. Yeah. Maybe it was from the Orlando Magic.
That's
possible. We did just start school right after the Orlando Magic came along. Did we?
Yeah,
basically. They came out in the 80s? Oh, we started way later than that.
Weren't they? I think they were 89.
89 or 91. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was 90. Anyway, doesn't matter. Magic, have a good court. They play defense way harder than the Atlanta Hawks. Way harder than the Atlanta Hawks. So, Jalen Johnson out, yes. But A.J. Griffin, we thought he could be part of the rotation.
Yeah.
It's an interesting move from Quinn Snyder because they're comfortable throwing Sadiq Bey off the bench in that sort of rotation, and he struggles defensively a lot of the time. So maybe A.J. Griffin can jump in and show Quinn I can play both ends.
When I was down at the Fortress last week, some Hawks fans were kicking around the idea of maybe they're looking to trade A.J. Griffin along with a Capella, and maybe that's sort of a package to go and make something happen because he was sort of out of the rotation, wasn't getting a lot of opportunity. But I wonder, first off, I have no idea if any of that's true, but maybe that game plan has changed now, too, that with Jalen Johnson, unfortunately, out for probably a month at the very least there with a pretty rough fall there, if you saw that one.
Yeah, Clint Capella was in a lot of trade rumors last year. Remember the Dallas Mavericks hoping to get him. So I thought Clint Capella was probably deep in his 30s just because I heard them so many times. But he's only 29.
Is he really?
I'm a little surprised by that, yeah. Very surprised by that. But I wonder, like we just said, with the forward position, they went from John Collins into the Jalen Johnson role. There have been talks that they go from Clint Capella to the Onyeka Okongwu role. So that just seems like it's going to happen at some point.
Makes too much sense. But then again, we waited 3 years to trade, or they traded for them to trade John Collins.
That's
so
a fair point.
They slow play it here.
Yeah.
All right. NBA weekend loser to the Chicago Bulls. Trey's not here to defend his team. I don't think he would, though.
No,
they are a deserving loser of the weekend. You know when you're in the running for a loser of the weekend nod here on No Dunks is when I see this tweet from Worldwide Wob. Bulls fans therapy session. Let it all out. This is a safe place. Mm. You never want to see that tweet. You never want to see that tweet from Worldwide Wob because that means your team's down bad. And they are. The Bulls have now lost 4 straight, 7 of their last 9. On Friday night in the No Dunks Bowl, in the IST game, OG matched his season high with 26 points. Raptors beat the Bulls pretty handily, 121-108. So they eliminated the Bulls from contention. Alex Caruso left in the third quarter. He didn't return. DeRozan got ejected because he was all pissed off that Darko and the Raptors were trying to run up the score because Darko thought the point differential still mattered to the Raptors in the in-season tournament games.
Man.
So it was all bad for the Bulls there on Friday night. And then they follow it up on Sunday. They start the game red hot. They are cooking the Nets. I forget what the lead was. It was hilarious. It looked like a football score, you know, like 3 touchdowns to a field goal. And then the Nets in the second quarter, they couldn't miss. They made an NBA season best 25 three-pointers in the 118-109 victory over Chicago. And now the Bulls are 5-13. So losses, you know, 2 losses to 2 teams that the Bulls are always comparing themselves to, right? That's like, you know, nobody has the Bulls at the top of the Eastern Conference, but within that tier of the Nets and teams like the Raptors, yes, they lost to both of them, and it looks bad. Mm-hmm. It looks so bad. They're already 4 games out of the number 10 seed, so we're talking play-in. They're closer to the basement. They're closer to the Pistons and the Wizards than they are really to play-in right now. It's their worst start over 18 games since 2018-19 when they finished 22-60. Yeah, the Bulls are back to being bad.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
It would be really weird to see so many teams that are at the bottom of standings and not close to the play-in tournament. That would feel weird to me later in the season because the play-in tournament is there because a lot of teams can get there. But like you just said, right now it's the Hornets, Bulls, Pistons, and Wizards nowhere close. So there's 4 teams in that conference, nowhere close. And then the Jazz, Blazers, Grizzlies, and Spurs in that one as well.
Right.
At this point, I mean, that may change, but that's a lot of teams. 4 of the 15 aren't anywhere close, and 11 of the 10. 11, you know, can get in to the 10 spots, I should say. Anyway, the point differential, talking about another tournament, the in-season tournament, point differential is very important. A lot of coaches playing for it. That's good for the in-season tournament. Just if you implement the in-season tournament, you want teams playing for it. Teams care about the point differential.
They really do. We've seen it in a couple games now where teams try and run up the score because, it might come down to a tiebreaker. In this one, I understand why DeRozan was a little pissed because, I think the Raptors were officially already eliminated by the time that was all happening. So it was, pointless. But anyway, he just probably wanted off the floor. He gave Masai Ujiri a nice hug while he was going to the back.
Full hug.
Here's where the Bulls are at. We all know they just have to do something. They have to tear this down. They have to trade one of these, if not two of these, if not three of these big guys. Because Zach LaVine and DeRozan and Vucevic, they were never good enough. If we're just being completely honest, as a big three. And now all three have noticeably, dropped off even more this year. So they got to do something, and they're probably just waiting until either December 15th or maybe even January 15th where, you can trade for more guys or include more guys. And, it's really bad, though. I mean, the vibes are brutal, and then anytime Caruso's not out there, they look like a real joke defensively. Rough weekend.
It took the Bulls one game to have a players' meeting at the beginning of the season. Yeah. That's a bad sign. I will say, though, those big three, they need certain types of players around them.
Yeah.
When they went and got these players, they had Lonzo Ball at the point guard spot, and that was perfect. They looked so good with the four of them playing, but the Lonzo Ball injury after doing so much defensively, he's just involved in every freaking possession. Yeah. He's just going so hard defensively. They looked great. The record with Lonzo Ball and these three guys is good, but unfortunately Lonzo Ball can't play. So things are very, very different.
And man, I don't know if it's because he's just tired of the losing and maybe the positions he's put in, or maybe it's age. I don't know. But Vucevic cannot hang with anyone right now. I mean, teams exploit him. It looks like he's got cement blocks on his feet. Like, he just can't move with anyone, and it's putting the team at a disadvantage. But you're right. You need some of those other perimeter defensive guys to help out in that regard. We're just waiting for them to do something. I actually think they will, but again, it might just be until that December 15th or even the January 15th, which is still, it's a couple weeks of potentially losing more games here.
Yeah, and Vucevic isn't being paid a ton, so it's a good contract to be able to be dealt now. The standard $20 million starting center guy who doesn't do enough. They overpaid for him in that trade. It looked good because of how things were coming together. At least they're going for it when they traded for him, but now... couple years later, things aren't going.
I will say, whatever happens in terms of a trade, I don't think it's going to be like salvaging this season. It's going to be a young prospect and draft pick capital. Because I don't think there's a big name or a notable name that would save the season. I don't think they're getting, an Austin Reeves, or they're not getting an OG Pro. They're not getting I'm not even talking superstar players here. I'm talking second tier guys here, but I don't think even that's coming back. It has to be draft picks and maybe a young star that you can squint and see, there's potential there. But it could be a long season here for the Bulls.
Yeah. I wonder if Zach LaVine wants out, because this team shouldn't be 5-13.
No.
They should not be 5-13. They went for it this past offseason as a team that could get into the play-in tournament. They went for it. They got Torrey Craig. They got Patrick Beverley. Guys that could help out and provide that support. Javon Carter even. Those are all solid players, but the top end right now, as you said, with Vooch not being able to do what he does, and LaVine, and unfortunately DeRozan, who's upset at times, it doesn't look good.
Billy Donovan said after the second loss there, "I've always talked about adversity and challenges and difficulties, and to me, I think there's one, a lot to learn through adversity, and two, the solution to adversity would not to be shut down. If you do that, that would be the worst thing to do." He's saying we're shutting down here when we sort of get punched in the mouth a little bit. Mm-hmm. Look, he probably should not be the coach of the Chicago Bulls, but I know he just had the extension kick in and all that. There are cheapskates, within that organization when it comes to this is just dead money here. Let's pivot, but he shouldn't be. I don't think that we've seen anything here, and he's lost this team. And it's just going to get worse here until they shake it up, I would imagine. Who else you got for a loser of the weekend?
I'm going to force this one in here. Like we just said about the Bulls, who kind of faded away. The Wizards kind of faded away. I'm going to blame them. And also their fans. Because, listen, they're weekend wasn't all that bad. They had a good loss against the Bucks on Friday. That was a close, close loss. Had lost seven straight going in, so they fought against the Bucks. They ended up losing. Then they played Atlanta Saturday. This comment from Wizards guard Landry Shamet, this got me going. He said this about Saturday's loss to the Hawks at home in Washington. The energy in the building was down. That's when you got to be able to create some energy for yourself. We never did that. They're 2-14. This is early for fans not to be cheering or not to have some energy. It's almost quarter point, nine straight loss there. And it's odd because, you know, they don't have Bulls talent at the top of their list, but they do have guys. I mean, they're paying Jordan Poole a lot of money. He is at the top, you know, 27 mil. They just signed Kyle Kuzma, 25 mil, but I like how it's a declining contract. It goes down to 19 at the end. But both those guys right now, that's a lot of money. And then you extended Denny Avdia, who's playing fine, but they just don't have a lot of hope. A lot of hope right now, other than Bilal Coulibaly. He's doing some things off the bench. Yeah. But they just have top-end pay right now. They are paying guys. They are going up against the Detroit Pistons tonight, Monday. Two of the worst teams in the NBA. Actually, the two worst records in the NBA. Both of them at 2-14 are the worst records. So tonight.
This is a big game for you and me.
Yeah. So, and then.
This is a nut dust bowl game.
Nut dust game.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember that.
You're the Pistons. I'm the Wizards. You don't want to finish with the worst record overall, or you're eating a bunch of nut dust.
I don't know. Might be looking forward to that, to be honest.
Sure, sure. Depends on what the nuts are.
Yeah, it depends. When I think nut dust, I also think seasoning. I think some.
Yeah, some rosemarys, maybe.
It's going to be good.
I think there's going to be a lot of coughing. Yeah. We might have a no water rule. So it's basically going to be like a weird cinnamon challenge up in here. But yeah, it's a big one for you and me. I don't know who wins it. If you have a read on this game, Zards or Pistons, you can probably get into the arena for $10, I'm sure. But yeah, it's bad for Washington. It's embarrassingly bad. I saw Kelly Dwyer write in his newsletter this morning that there are like 20 good teams right now in the NBA, plus the Nets and Raptors. Probably he's trying to decide where to put them. But he's got a point because the Bulls and Grizzlies want to win, but they don't. And then there are six teams that are just inherently bad. Wizards, Pistons, Hornets, Blazers, Jazz, and Spurs. And again, he's got sort of the Nets, Raptors, it feels like he's got them sort of like, are they good or are they really bad? I think they're leaning more towards good than bad teams that we listed there, but it's a good point. Yep. But wild that some of those teams I said are in that group. I would say it's most specific. I'd say, yeah, the Wizards, I don't think anybody thought they were going to be like, oh, they're 45 win, but this is really bad.
This is bad.
2-14. Same with Detroit, too.
Poole can't find his flow as a number one guy.
No.
Not at all. So that's a problem. This is a very different role for him. And he was missing from that last game. I didn't mention that, but I didn't particularly care about that. They should be better, no matter what. And I wanted to know what Landry Shamet said. Hey, Washington fans, I want to hear you.
Can we blame them even? I mean, it's been very bad for a couple seasons now.
Yeah.
And it's even worse to start this season. And what are you cheering for? Jordan Poole, you know, taking a shot with 18 on the shot clock and turning around like it's going in before it even drops, and it doesn't?
No. Put Alexander Ovechkin's face on the screen or something.
play Capitals games?
Well, I think people will like his face. They'll cheer for his face. I don't know. It's tough to find something to cheer for. That's true. But the good thing about the salary floor is that you got to pay players. And so it is surprising that, again, eight teams in this league aren't that good. Because they do have good players. Because you got to play some players.
I obviously didn't think it would be this bad. But I didn't think the Pistons would be 2-14 either. I was talking up the Pistons after the first week of the season. I'm like, ooh, this is a scrappy team. Watch out. They can't beat anyone right now. Somebody has to win tonight.
Who you got tonight?
Well, the Zards. Come on, man. The Zards are going to lay the beat down on your Pistons tonight.
Can't wait.
Neither can I. One more NBA weekend loser. It's Wembanyama. Not really him, though. Whoever was in charge of spelling his name on the back of his jersey there on Friday night. Yeah, Wembanyama played the entire first quarter with his name spelled as Wembanyana. We had another N there instead of an M. right at the end of his name. And after the loss, Wembanyama said he didn't even realize the misspelling during the game. Though he did say it was a real shame. I don't know why that made me laugh. This is a real shame. Was it, though? He shot 3 for 4 from the field when he was wearing the incorrect spelled jersey. Because I think they caught it pretty early. I think he switched in to the new jersey in the second quarter. But, look, you created some valuable memorabilia here, right? Couldn't the Spurs auction this off? I know Sotheby's just did his debut jersey from his first game as a rookie. How much do you think it went for? What do you think a Victor Wembanyama debut jersey against the Mavs recently auctioned off for? Yeah, where would you even start?
How many digits? I'm definitely going 5. I'm going 5 digits.
You can go up to 6, my friend.
6, yeah. Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's
a lot.
I
didn't have the guts. 300K?
300K? More than double. $760,000 for that debut jersey there. So what do you do? Does this one, is this one more memorable?
No.
No.
No, I got to say no. Listen, I'm a huge Wembanyama fan. Having been at Summer League, seeing that poor first game and then seeing him go skyrocket into that second game.
Yeah.
So I can understand why you'd want to pay for it. But a Wembanyama jersey that's spelled incorrectly, I think Greg Popovich would take the mic and tell people not to boo at that.
Boy.
Don't buy that. Don't buy that. Don't boo Kawhi Leonard.
God, that happened. It feels like it happened so long ago, but we hadn't done a show since then. Yes.
Yeah,
What did you think of? Let's you know, before we move to Tweet of the Night, what did you think of Greg Popovich taking the mic in San Antonio and telling Spurs fans to stop booing Kawhi Leonard? Stop it. We're basically we're better than this. Show some class.
I at first said, "Wow, I love Pop. I like it. I like him just grabbing the mic." And being able to do that, not many coaches would just grab a mic and be able to do that. At the same time, fans can do what they want. They pay a lot of money. They can boo Kawhi Leonard, who didn't leave all that well. He played really hard. They helped win a championship, obviously. He's the finals freaking MVP. But his leave was not all that memorable for them. It didn't. It soured a lot of people. So it's fine by me. It's fine.
It just made them boo more, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And Pop was trying to spin it like, you don't poke the bear. That's what he kept saying after the game. So he was trying to spin it quickly into, I'm telling you to stop booing. Because a player of his caliber, the more you boo, the worse it's going to be
that's
for
true.
Us.
That's true.
Which
players
is true, but
that.
I don't think he was. I don't think that's what he was actually doing when he first took the mic. I think he started to realize, like, I'm going to have to spin this. What's my what's my move here? What's my PR move?
Mm.
But anyway, I thought it was, it's hilarious. It's really funny.
Yeah,
I know our friend Gourmet Spud was firing off the tweets about it, making fun of it.
I think it's great to see a coach grab a mic. We didn't ever see that.
Well, we have. Doc Rivers grabbed a mic and told Clippers fans back in the day to cheer Dirk Nowitzki. It was his final game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you may not remember it because I don't think the PA team did a great job when Doc had the mic. You could sort of like it wasn't coming through crystal clear.
Mm.
San Antonio, they knocked it out of the park. You could hear Pop perfectly. Yeah, really weird. Let's hear from you on that one.
Yeah.
We had a poll up on our YouTube community page. Was it a classy move by Pop or was it out of pocket?
Mm.
The votes were leaning towards classy more than they were out of pocket.
Did you like Doc when he did it? Because
I
couldn't wait to hear
the
impression.
Well, that one is more – they're obviously two completely different scenarios here. Doc is saying this is a legend. Let's show him the respect. And, Dirk was loving it and the fans did. And that was cool.
That was cool.
This is Pop telling his own fan base what they should do or shouldn't do. You know, that's a little much. They want to boo him, boo him. And they booed him even more. So so it backfired. Maybe he knew that. Maybe he knew it all along.
Mm-hmm.
All right, those are our winners and losers of the NBA weekend. Who did we miss? What did we miss? Which teams you want us to talk about? We're here all week, so we'll make sure to slip them in. Let us know here in the
got a big game
in
tonight.
It's the Nut Dust Bowl game. Everybody's excited. Everybody's pumped up.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
So Tweet of the Night, I wanted to make Thanksgiving-themed still, as we sort of put a button on that, the long weekend that we had here in the States. So Kevin O'Connor, MBA, KOC, he tweeted with a video, Shaedon Sharpe really loves mac and cheese, and KOC's right. Let's roll the clip.
Mashed potatoes or mac and cheese?
Oh, mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or butternut squash?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or cranberry sauce?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or creamed spinach?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or sweet potato casserole?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or scalloped potatoes?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or Brussels sprouts?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or buttermilk biscuits?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or steamed broccoli?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or stuffing?
Mac and cheese. Ooh, nah, mac and cheese. Can't do.
Mac and cheese or cornbread?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or salad?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or sweet potato soup?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese or Jell-O casserole?
Mac and cheese.
There you go. The Would You Rather with Shaedon Sharpe. Really loving mac and cheese. He nearly changed when he got to stuffing, which I think, like JD, you said before we went live here, that they weren't throwing him some great options.
No, I'm with him for 90% of those. I mean, stuffing, mashed potatoes, but that Jell-O casserole?
I know. Salad? Maybe,
come on. Sweet potato casserole? Yeah. I mean, I know. I hate sweet potatoes. And the picture, there was marshmallows melted on top. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you think about Sharpe running the gauntlet there for mac and cheese?
I respect him, but salad is good, Skeets.
Well, yeah.
You need a salad. You need a salad.
Yeah, we all need a salad, but you're not going to take it over mac and cheese, are you?
No. It's just like they gave him 15 options. You kind of have to say yes. You kind of feel like you're helping produce and you kind of want some variation.
Oh, by flip-flopping a little bit. Yeah, you're right.
But at the same time, I'm wrong because... Yeah, we're playing that clip.
This doesn't go viral if he keeps, like, when he gets the stuffing, he says stuffing. Everyone goes, okay, yeah, stuffing's great. But him running with mac and cheese becomes funny, yeah.
That was great. Americans don't even really call it stuffing, though, do they? Or is this just...
Have understood this dressing versus stuffing debate.
Because they may have changed it for our Canadian friend, Shaedon Sharpe.
Oh, yeah, right. Interesting. But, I mean, so what did you call it? Growing up.
No, stuffing.
Stuffing. Yeah, so
I
did we.
Don't know what I didn't know what dressing was
until I
got here.
I always thought one
here.
Was like in the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And one stuffing,
wasn't. Stuffing, I assume. Because you stuff it in the bird.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what it has to do with at all.
Yeah. I thought they were just like different words for the same thing growing up, but it was always stuffing in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And mac and cheese, not a thing for Canadian Thanksgiving, at least at my house. Like
totally.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever had it in Canada. Never. At the Thanksgiving table in October, but definitely here. I had a bunch on Thursday at Trey's house. It was good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. I don't even know who made that. Was that Laura? Maybe it was Laura.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's good. What is Jell-O casserole? Sorry, JD. I got it.
No clue.
What is that thing?
Look gross.
I've never heard of it. I mean, I guess I've seen sort of like people showing up with a Jell-O, but it's, what do you call it?
So it's in a cake.
I think you can put shit like fruit into thing. It's like a dessert, right? Uh-huh. I don't know. Or maybe it's a cranberry sauce type thing. Jell-O, cranberry Jell-O. Is that even a thing? Anyways.
So the ones that you would have maybe pivoted from mac and cheese, JD, were what? Stuffing?
Stuffing, mashed potatoes, scalloped potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would have, if it was scalloped potatoes versus all of those, it would be scalloped potatoes.
Yeah,
I would have been Shaedon all the way.
Yeah. Shaedon all the way.
scalloped potatoes.
You would have went viral.
I know.
All right. Glad we got that tweet in. Thank you to KOC for bringing that to our attention. And Shaedon Sharpe really loving mac and cheese. Can't go wrong with a good mac and cheese. Let's call it there. We'll be back tomorrow. Tass and I here in the Classic Factory all week long. Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. Make sure you go take advantage of those Cyber Monday deals. Go to nodunks.com or breakingtea.com and take advantage. A lot of the shirts, a lot of the hoodies on sale right now. Make the perfect Christmas gift. So please do that if you haven't done so. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave your boys a leave your boys a 5-star rating and review, and we will see you tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, you got to say no to bundt cake. I see it here in the comments. Bundt cake? Get out of here. It's like Jell-O casserole, but with cake.
Same shape, for sure.
Same shape. Same shape.
Same shape.
Shapes.
Brace the day, people.